Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Monday, October 31st. Happy Halloween! This is the Friendship Fiasco edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting advice column, and mom to Naima, who is 9 and a half, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make the Best Advice Show podcast. I'm the dad of Noah, who's 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
And I'm Fiona Kong, founder of the Home Sweet Home Journal for co-parenting families. I am the mom to 6-year-old Emil, and we live in Los Angeles.
Today on the show, we've got a letter from a parent whose child is dealing with some less than ideal behavior within their friend group. One kid is struggling and everybody's impacted. What should they do? Well, we're going to talk about it. First, we wanted to jump into our Monday mailbag. We're going to share a few letters. The first one we got in response to our recent birthday party episode.
Dear Mom and Dad, we just celebrated my now 8-year-old's birthday. We've been able to do small family things over the past couple of years, but she wanted a friend birthday party this year. I was stressed about activities and money, and then I read a post from Busy Toddler, and it was a great reminder that we need to tone down the parties. We don't have to continue doing these epic Pinterest, Instagram-worthy parties. They just want to play with their friends and have some cake. We ended up having 8 friends over to our small house, and we didn't plan any activities. We decorated with streamers and balloons. They had a blast, and my daughter was so happy. I know the letter writer said that they can't do it at their house, but going to a playground has built-in fun, even in the rain, and most parks have covered spaces for adults, which is nice. I think we've gotten into this competitive parenting space where we're trying to outdo the last party or we're not being good parents, and that's about us, not the kids. They just want to play with their friends and have cake. Make it simple. Another cheap indoor option is reserving a side room at the public library. Those are free, but you will have to bring some activities in there. Good luck.
We also got more feedback from our Don't Fear the Diagnosis episode.
Dear Mom and Dad, I've been listening to your show for a few years, and I mostly listen as a parent, but I'm also a school-based occupational therapist. I have to say, I love your knowledge of pediatric occupational therapy after hearing references to it in multiple episodes. It's great for our profession to get these positive mentions, since many people don't know about OT if they haven't had personal experiences. I thought all 3 hosts did an amazing job answering the autism question from a few weeks ago. The one thing I would add would be to start the conversation by asking questions to gauge where the parent is in the process. Do they have any concerns? Is autism on their radar? Have they recently been to their pediatrician? In my experience, having background information about where the parent is in the process and meeting them there is super helpful, and it leads to better conversations.
Yeah, I think tone down in general is great advice for parents to follow. Just tone it down. Tone down the parties. Tone down the costumes. Let's stop putting so much pressure on ourselves, right? I think that was some good advice.
Definitely. No, we're glad that you feel reflected as an occupational therapist, and also that you enjoyed our answer to that question. And we appreciate you extending your thoughts to us and offering some additional advice. We always love hearing about your experiences and getting your sage wisdom. So please keep sending those letters in. You can do that by emailing momanddad@slate.com. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive right into our listener question.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these 2 policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
We are back and ready to hear today's listener question.
Dear Mom and Dad, my child attends a Dodia school with a small class size, so short-term and limited options for outside friends. A mixed gender friend group has formed, but one member of the group is struggling to connect and exhibiting behaviors that are causing others to want to exclude them. Apparently, the kid is not bad, just annoying. Another kid is hosting a get-together and has not invited the struggling child. My child is invited and wants to attend, but we're both agonizing over what to do. My kid is always kind to the other child, but doesn't enjoy the person. Obviously, the party will not remain a secret because we're in a small community, and I am friends with the other parent. What would you advise for either of us? Thanks, Friendship Fiasco.
Well, first of all, I had to look up DODEA. That's Department of Defense Education Activity, like a military school on a base. But I think that's beside the point. This is a dynamic we've all seen in our lives. It's agonizing just to imagine the different facets of this. Because this kid is annoying. He's not bad, he's annoying. So why would you want to hang out with him? At the same time, excluding him in this small community when you know it's going to get back to him that there was this party and he was and they weren't invited, like that's going to feel terrible. I think it's too early to, you know, extricate this kid from parties. I think that they deserve another chance. I really want to know what they're doing that's annoying. And I wonder if your child, Friendship Fiasco, who it's so sweet that they're always kind to the other child and they're agonizing over what to do because this is a decision that's weighing on them. And though they're not the ones deciding whether or not to include this kid or not, you know, maybe reach out to the host of this party and kind of talk through it with them and just like wonder aloud with them. Well, what if you invite them this time and I'll kind of take the annoying child under my wing and maybe there's something that I can do to help them you know, feel more comfortable. Maybe they're acting out of insecurity or discomfort. But like all in all, I just think that just excluding this kid right now is not, it's just not nice. It's just not nice. But I don't know, because who wants to hang out with an annoying kid? What do you think?
Zach, I completely agree with everything you've said, because this isn't an easy, you know, situation where, you know, there's implications on both ends, right? This kid deserves, I also believe that kids, you know, they're young and the hurt that they will feel, you know, and they need to see these kids all the time. I think that makes the situation so much worse. So I feel like if you are good enough friends with the annoying kid's parents, maybe have a conversation with them about, you know, if you're able to pinpoint where their child is struggling, you know, frame it in a way that is helpful, because chances are they don't know what the problem is, right? And they can't correct it if they don't know what the problem is. I do like the idea of going to the host and saying something, because, you know, we talked about exclusion. It's really shitty. I personally would still invite the kid in a small community. You be inclusive, because it's, I think the interactions going forward are going to be really awkward. So that's what I would say. I would definitely try to have conversations with both parents and try to make things, you know, figure out a happy medium.
Yeah, no, I agree with you both. I definitely think it's worth reaching out to the hosts and just talking about how painful it could be for a child in such a small group to be left out. Then having that conversation with the parent of the child in question that, hey, you know, there seems to be a little tension between so-and-so and the group. I've observed some things. Could we maybe chat about it? You know, and I know that's a very courageous conversation to have. I mean, nobody wants to be told anything negative about their child. But, you know, I just think of so many people that have suffered socially, you know, things perhaps could have been different if there had been some intervention and someone would say, hey, these behaviors are really, people don't like being treated that way. You know, you got to work on how you talk to people. You got to keep your hands to yourself, you know, things that can become these kind of deeply antisocial behaviors, or a child that could grow up being really isolated from their peers. And that's not to say they can't have meaningful friendships, but, you know, that they're not able to really do well in this broader group when it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Because, like you said, the behaviors are not, like, bad, just annoying. I wish that parents of annoying children were told, hey, your kid's kind of out here annoying everyone, sooner than later, you know, so it can be addressed.
I interviewed this woman who's going to be on the show, I think in the next couple of weeks. Her name is Dr. Marissa Franco, and she just wrote a book about friendship and its importance in our lives. She's a professor and a psychologist and a researcher. And one of the things she told me, a key thing that we can do with our friends is normalize telling them when they've hurt us. And that's something that I think this speaks to, like, telling this, you know, quote, annoying kid that they're being annoying, or saying it in a nicer way, is only going to help. That's going to make them feel closer to you and vice versa. And it's going to make them aware of their, you know, annoying tendencies. So by excluding them, by alienating them, by not making them feel like they are welcome, that isn't going to get, it's not going to get you anywhere. And it's certainly just going to make this kid not very happy with themselves, because they're not even going to know why they weren't included. They're just not going to get this invitation. Then they're going to be scratching their head, say, what did I do wrong? God damn it, I'm not good enough. Like, what did I do? Like, there's a nice way to tell someone, like you said, when they're being annoying.
And it definitely, you know, will impact their self-esteem moving forward. And at that age, right, it's like you care so much about being included. You know, kids, they talk, and you can't really hide that stuff. So, you know, I would think about when I was a kid, I wasn't annoying, but I was a really shy kid. And if someone had come up to me and be like, you know, I was good in like small circles, you know, small interactions. And if I had a, you know, an adult that understood that and was like, okay, we're going to maybe cater to that, you know, we're going to not, you know, try to help me in this situation when there's so many kids, it's overwhelming to me. It's like, that's what helps everyone move forward, right? And it would have helped me so much if, you know, there was that understanding and someone was there to be like, okay, like, I understand how, like, what's going on with you, and but this is how we want to help you. So ultimately, I think that's the goal. We want everyone to do and feel well.
Absolutely. Letter writer, we would love an update on this. We hope our advice was helpful, and please, please keep us posted. Everyone else, do you have some advice for our letter writer? You can let us know by emailing us at momanddad@slate.com. That's also where you can send any questions of your own.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
It is finally time for some recommendations. Fiona, what are you recommending?
This is going to be a fun one. My son and I just discovered this game, and he loves board games. He's so into them right now. I don't know if you two know about it, but it's called Blockus, and apparently it's been around for a while. It's this puzzle game. It's a board, and there's all these pieces, and you have to, it involves a lot of strategy to fitting all the pieces on the board. It's kind of like Tetris, but we have an octagon-shaped board and or hexagon, and it takes probably about 30 minutes, and you can play it from my style 6 now, but you could play it till you're like 99. So it's a great use of time, and we just love it. We've played it every time he comes back to home. It's on our to-do list.
So this, it's not digital, it's like an actual thing that you touch?
Yeah, it's a tangible game.
I'm looking this up, Blockus, because I love Tetris.
I know, it's very different than anything I've played before. So for the holidays, it's fun for adults and kids.
Blockus, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, maybe we need to try this because we could use a new game. What about you, Zach? What are you recommending?
I'm recommending forest bathing. I was up north in northern Michigan with some friends this weekend, and just, I got, you know, we were with the kids, so I didn't get much time to myself, but I went out in the backwoods behind a friend's house just for like 20 minutes, all by myself, no one around other than trees and leaves and birds. And I just took it in. I just like had some time to myself. I did some weird interpretive dancing based on how I was feeling in the moment. I did some singing. I like just climbed on some fallen trees like I was 7 years old. And it felt so good. And then like an hour later, I was walking with Noah out in the woods, and then like gave her some space, probably walked like 100 yards past her. And then she did her own solo forest bathing. And then I just heard like some singing coming from the distance, and she was like moving around. And I think at one point she was laying down, making like leaf angels, especially if you live in the city like me, just getting out into the woods, even if it's just like in the, you know, park inside the city. Something specifically about doing it by yourself. You know, leave your phone or put your phone away and just like take in the fall. It's a great time of year right now to be outside.
Forest bathing. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It's an actual term. I actually looked it up, that it was created in 1982 by the Japanese Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. And the word, it's in Japanese, but it translates to forest bathing or absorbing the forest atmosphere. So that's what it is. Just absorbing the atmosphere. You don't actually take a bath. You can rub leaves all over yourself, though. Nothing wrong with that.
What time of day did you go?
Oh, good question. Late afternoon. It was like unseasonably warm. It was like in the high 60s here in Michigan this weekend. It was magnificent.
You've inspired me. I'd love to get out of the city here in LA.
Yeah, do it. How about you, Jamila?
Well, I am recommending the movie Bros. It didn't do super well. I don't think it really met expectations, but I thought it was rather cute. You know, it's not a perfect movie. It's definitely significant to have a big box office rom-com about two men. And I think it's a sweet movie. It's definitely not a family movie. It's an adult film. There's, you know, pretty solid performances. I mean, it's a little long. I think all movies are a little long. It's about 2 hours and 15 minutes. I think everything could be a solid 90. I'm going to start like a solid 90.com. It's like a movement to like make films be 90 minutes long because my attention span is struggling. But that was pretty decent. I gave it a shot. You know, not the best movie I've ever seen, not the worst, but I thought it was good.
Did you laugh out loud a lot?
No, it was more chuckle funny, you know. I think I got more caught up in the love story than, you know, like it actually being like a ha-ha comedy. But there are a few laugh moments. Deborah Messing has a pretty memorable cameo, but not the biggest ha-ha funny movie, but few rom-coms are.
Did you go to the theater?
I went to the theater, yeah.
Popcorn?
I had popcorn. I had a cheese and caramel mix. It was absolutely awful. Ooh. It was disgusting. Like, the cheese had this weird aftertaste, and I was dying. I'm from Chicago, where we have Garrett's popcorn, which is so delicious and so good. They're known for a cheese and caramel corn mix. There's one in New York. There is not one out here. And boy, what they were selling at the movies was pretty disgusting. So Shout out to the Regal Cinema at the Grove. That's the worst popcorn I've ever, like, it was so bad. I was so hungry. So I'm just kind of like casually, like the caramel was edible, but the cheese had this really bad aftertaste. Like it was just so synthetic tasting. Like this was worse than like any little bag of popcorn you got at a birthday party when you were kids. Like this was really bad, really bad. I paid so much money for it.
How much does a movie and popcorn cost in LA now?
Oh my God. I've kind of blocked it out of my mind. My mom freaks out. Like we went to the movies and she made a whole like, oh my God, that's how much it costs. I was like, Mom, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So I don't know. I feel like I've blocked the cost out of my mind because it's so high, but I feel like a ticket is probably $16 or $17. And with taxes, you know, you're pretty close to $20 per person or per adult. And then the popcorn, I'm sure I spent at least $20 on like my popcorn and my Freestyle Machine soda.
But you got to see a movie. And I mean, seeing a comedy in the theater, there's just something really fun about it.
There is something fun about it. Pretty quiet audience,
though. And I like Billy Eichner.
I like Billy Eichner too. He's fine. All right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for another episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting. Thank you for listening. As always, this episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Christy Tywell Macanjula and Rosemary Belson. For Fiona Kong and Zach Rosen, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thank you for listening.